alone and there is no helper suitable for him. So he said, okay, let me make woman. Okay, so he made woman and he said, both of you are going to take care of this and multiply it, and you know, you are going to do a lot of things in this garden. It is your duty, your responsibility to take care of it. Okay, so that was, so do you think what is given to Adam and Eve? So suppose if something is given to Adam and Eve, it is, does not belong to us. What do you think? The question mark. So does it remain with Adam and Eve? It is given to Adam and Eve. Now it does not belong to us. The creation does not belong to us. It does? Yes? So just like sin passed on, redemption passes on. Like that only the responsibilities also passes on. So it never stops. We cannot say, okay, Adam and Eve sinned. Now there is no responsibility. Let the world grow, you know, into a bad state or whatever. So what is stewardship? What is stewardship? Stewardship means, okay, yeah. So before that, what does Peter say? Each of you should use whatever gift you received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So it's like God has given us certain gifts, just like Adam and Eve. He gave us certain gifts. And we are called to be stewards. That is another version. NIV is a new international version. I will also read from ESV, that is English Standard Version. And it says, as each has received a gift. It does not say you will receive. You have received already. Okay. Use it to serve another. Not for your benefit, but use it to serve another. As good stewards of God's varied grace. Okay. Each one of us has given a different standard of grace. So that is why he says varied grace has been given to you. So you take care of that thing. Yes, so the definition of stewardship is a person who manages another's property or financial affairs. Whose property? My property? Whose? Another's property. So what has God given to us is not mine. Whenever we give offering also, you know what the person who's standing here announces and says? Give to God what He has given to us. So whatever we have, be it family, be it friends, be it a home, be it a job that we are working in, or be the rest that we are enjoying, whatever has been given to us is God's. It is not ours. So that is why we are stewards. That is why whenever a child is born and when the child is being dedicated, We don't say that, you know, okay, so they are the parents. We say you are stewards towards that child. God has given to us that child so that we bring them up the way God wants us to bring them up. So that is why many times we, in parenting also, we say don't be so obsessed or possessive about your children or anything like that. Don't be so obsessed about your work. It is given to you by God. So we believe and we know that it is God's creation or God's doing in our life, and that is how we need to take care of it. Like this, one who administers anything as the agent of another or others, a person who has charge of household of another, buying or obtaining food, directing the servants, etc. This is not even from the Bible. This is a dictionary version of what is stewardship. So imagine being stewards. The world also knows what does it mean to be a steward. Right? So everybody needs to know what it is to be a steward. But how did we do? How did we take care of? Okay, so let's see what God has given us charge. Becky, can you read this?
God gave us charge. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and the wild animals. us.
The Bible says that we are given charge. Can you tell your neighbor we are given charge? Yes, so we are given charge, right? But God also looks at us and says, how are we doing? Okay, so in Jeremiah, God shows his concern. Okay, in Jeremiah 2:7, he says, I brought you into a fertile land to eat its fruit and rich produce, but you came and defiled my land and made my inheritance detestable. Then in Deuteronomy 11:8-12, it says, observe therefore all the commands I am giving you today, so that you may have the strength to go on in and take over the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, and so that you may live, and the Lord swore to your ancestors to give to them and their descendants a land flowing with milk and honey. The land you are entering to take over is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you planted your seed and irrigated it by foot as in a vegetable garden. But the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven. It is a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end. What does verse 12 says? That it is a land the Lord your God cares for. See, in the olden times, it was all about land, field, war, you know, military forces, kingdoms. But today, it is more about what? Today, what do you think it is about? Our work. Right? What we have at our workplaces, the position, the designation that we hold, or in a family, what are you, like a head of the family, the father, the mother, the children. So we are all given this. And God says, like in verse 12, that it is the responsibility that the Lord God cares for. It is the person that the Lord God cares for. Or is it? It is the job that God, Lord God cares for, and His eyes are on it. So be it the church that we belong to, or be it the family that we belong to, God is looking at us. God is looking at that church, saying that how has XYZ person helped, or XYZ have shown their skills and contributed to whatever they are doing, right? So it is the Lord who gives us that opportunity to work on anything that we do, right? So we are stewards of the earth. We have a responsibility to care for it. The scripture is very clear that all of God's creation and brings Him glory, right? Therefore, our stewardship and upkeep of the earth is one of the greatest offerings of worship we can give. So we come on a Sunday, it's a summary of all that we have done during the week. It is not like, oh, Sunday I will worship God, Monday to Saturday I will do whatever I feel then. No, it is a summary of all that we have been doing throughout the week in our work, in our family, if we have gone shopping, if we have... How have we behaved, or how have we taken responsibility of everything that God has given to us, right? And then we come back here and say, Lord, I worship you and I thank you because you have given this to me. And I know that you will continue to help me, give me that strength to take care of it. You will give me that grace to go on, to move on, right? So stewardship is a worship to God. And we see that with Job, right? So Mayur, you want to read this?
In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to hold feasts in their homes on their birthdays. And they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would make arrangements for them to be purified.
early in the morning he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular custom. Yeah, so while we read about Job, so what did we read? Stewardship. He had how many children? Almost 10 children, right? And he had lot of property. Okay, lot of property. But because of all this, he did not say, "Arey, mere paas to sab kuch hai. I have everything in life. Why should I remember God?" But in fact, he said, "Maybe my children have sinned. Maybe I have gone wrong somewhere. Maybe I have done something which has displeased God. But let me just thank God. Let me bring sacrifices before God." So stewardship is nothing but a responsibility given to us that you need to take care of it. You need to remember who has given it to us. Okay, all the time, every time, go back and say, "God, I thank you for this child. Lord, I thank you for the church that you have given to me. Thank you for this house that you have given to me. Thank you, Lord. I hope I have not done anything wrong at my workplace, because that is what you have given to me." So each time there is a gratitude, there is a worship that rises from our hearts each time we look at it. So then only we will only overlook the troubles that we have. We will say, "Okay, God will take care of the troubles that we have, or the financial situation that we have. At least I have money to feed my children. At least I have money to, you know, provide for my family and, you know, travel or something." And we will become more grateful to what we have rather than grumbling and cribbing about what we do not have. So stewardship teaches us to worship God even in our nothingness, even when we do not have anything. Because each time we look at a face, like how we said, each time I look at the phone, I will remember you. I will remember what God has done for me. So we be like, more like Job. So this is what Job started off with. And in the end, we can see that how God blessed him also. All the years that he had, he never cursed God, because he said, "Whatever God has given to me is his." So he knew whose, whatever, whether it is tribulation or whether it is, you know, any kind of property that he's gaining, or any, you know, whatever he's in his, whoever he was, he used to praise God, right? Now, God made man as a co-partner to take care of all that he had made. It is the sin in us that there's so much cruelty. So you may say that, okay, we will take care of things, but what about others? What about others who do not take care of it? It is the sin in us that do not allow us to take care of the things that God has given us. So that is why we treat things very badly. We destroy our surroundings. We are so inhuman at times because the sin that is in us. But we need to overcome that because Jesus has done it on the cross. So we do not have to continue living in that, you know, saying that I am a human, I am sinful, I am like that. No, we have to cut it off and say, "No, I am going to. That is the stewardship that is mine." So I see somebody doing something, you know, which is not being a good human, I will stop that person and say, "We need to take care of it. We need to, because this belongs to God." We teach our children that way. We teach our church members, like you see a church member or you see a brethren or a sister in trouble, we take responsibility. We become their stewards. Let not sin rule over us. So that's what even Paul says. The sin is there in us. It will tell us to harm, to destroy, to kill. But we have to overcome that and say, "Lord, Holy Spirit, please enable me to overcome this and take care of the things that you have given to me." And rather than saying that, "Oh, I'm only a human, I cannot help it," rather than saying that, I need to show the difference. I need to be that different person who is taking responsibility of what God has given to me. So, now what are the things that we are responsible for? We are responsible for ourselves, right? That is, whoever I am. That means I cannot misuse my body. I cannot misuse who I am, right? That is why we always say that, you know, take care of your health, take care of, you know, don't stress, don't do this. Because we have to take care of ourselves. We have to, because God has made us. And if we are not strong, if we are not up to the mark, then we will not be able to take care of other things. So even in the Bible, yesterday we learned in the confession course, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And the second commandment says, love neighbor as yourselves. So first, as yourselves means first I need to take care of myself. I need to be a good steward about whatever God has given to me, my body, my job, my emotions. I cannot allow my emotions to, like, you know, go out of control. Who is in charge? You need to decide that. I cannot allow my health to deteriorate, because who is in charge? I am in charge of my health. What I eat, what I drink, what I do, I am in charge. My spiritual growth. Am I reading the Bible? Am I praying? Am I accountable to somebody? Am I kind of getting rid of all the sin that is there in my life? I am responsible for that. Nobody is going to come and tell me, hey, you've done this wrong. You are falling in this area. Nobody. I will only know who I am in the dark. If I know that, I am a steward for myself. I am responsible. If tomorrow God does not, you know, recognize me, that is because I have not been recognizing. I am not doing things which God wants me to do. So I am responsible for myself. Can we tell our neighbor, I am responsible for myself? Yes. We are stewards for ourselves. We cannot blame anybody. We cannot say, you didn't take care of me. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. We cannot blame. I am responsible for myself. Then, God has given us a family. So it could be you are born in a family, father, mother, brother, sister. Maybe it's a joint family, nuclear family, any kind of family. God has given us a family. We need to be responsible and stewards to this family that God has given. God has blessed us with a family, and we need to be accountable for all that we are doing for them. We need to love them. We need to spend time with them. We need to communicate with them, teach them, learn from them, contribute, and all that it takes is to, you know, it's like presenting God and saying, God, this is the family that you've given to me, and I'm going to take full responsibility of this family. See, we may have many excuses saying, I don't have time, I don't have this, I don't have that. Then the very reason that God has given it to you, maybe God has seen that, okay. So like how Peter says, no, the grace, the varied amount of grace. So some people have one child, some people have a big family, some people have, you know, multiple things to take care of. So according to that grace, because the Bible also says he will not test you beyond your limits. So he has given you, and you may ask for that grace. You may ask for that strength. You may work like 12 hours in a day. But you may ask God, God, give me that 1% of that energy so that I can be with my kids. I can spend time with my wife or my husband. Lord, give me that space so that I can spend time with my parents. Lord, help me. And God is more than gracious to help us. And he will give us ideas. And, you know, nowadays it is so, you know, he will give us creativity, innovations to do that. So we are responsible for our family, and we need to be stewards for that. Because many times children will come with a lot of questions, and we will say, oh, I don't have time. Then they go and ask their friends, and they get some other answers. Then we say, "Arey, my child is getting spoiled." But I have not been a good steward. I have not been a good person, person to guide my child. Church, right? So we are in Renewed Hope community today. Tomorrow we will be, you know, if at all you get a transfer or something like that happens and you go to another church. Every church you go to, we need to be good stewards wherever we are. We cannot say that I'm a good steward over there in that church, but not in this church. Nothing like that. We have to be good stewards, because that is what God has given to you currently. And we need to do our 100% for that place, for the people there, for the church there. Right? So we are responsible for the church health. We cannot say, "Arey, this church is, you know, this is not there, that is not there." What am I doing for the church? How am I upgrading my skills so that that will be beneficial for the church and the people? Right? So, how much am I giving? How much am I loving the people in the church? How much am I respecting the people in the church? Or am I being accountable for what I am doing? Can I be dependable? Can you ask that question to each other? Can I be dependable? Yes, so that is something that we need to ask when we are in a church premises, that, you know, am I dependable? Suppose if I say I am coming at 9 a.m. to help out with the ushering and, you know, with the setting up, can I be dependable? Can you count on me? Yes, that person is going to come at 9 a.m. I am coming for street children ministry. Yes, you can count on me. No matter what happens, no matter what, where we are, I have made a commitment and I need to fulfill. That is what God is calling us for, the stewardship. The stewardship reminds me of the love of Jesus. When God said that the seed of the woman will come and rescue the mankind. You know, it is given in Genesis. And God kept his promise. That is the kind of commitment that he expects from us. Because each day we are growing to be like him, to be like Jesus more and more. And this is one of the aspects that we need to work on. And also, one more thing, stewardship also shows our character, like the person who we are. Like if I can be depended on, I can be a trustworthy person. That means my character shows that this person is faithful and shows trust in all aspects. Then we have being stewards at work. How faithful am I in my workplace? Do I punch in in time? What time do I punch out? Do I respect my colleagues? Or do I, like, you know, kind of talk behind their back? Or do I respect my superiors? Or always say, he has not given me a promotion, he's a bad boss? Or do I say, my subordinates don't listen to me? Do I respect the work that is given to me? Because sometimes we say, I'm not qualified for this. Mera qualification isse bhi badhkar hai. Like, you know, I am more than this. Or I may say, oh, this is not my job profile. I can't do this. Or do I do that? What am I doing at my workplace? How am I being? How am I a different person? What difference can they see in me? And what difference can they see in a person who's just randomly coming? I am coming to a church. I am reading the Bible. I am praying. I'm fasting. I'm doing certain things. But can these people see the difference in my character, in the way I live my life? Can they do that? And that is what showcases our character in our workplaces. How much effort do I put in? Or how much extra work do I do? So these are some of the few examples, but there are other stewardships that we are, you know, responsible for. And that you can always think about and you can work on it, right? Now, if I'm saying, okay, this is what we have to do, so how should we be stewards? How? Now, the question is how. Now, qualities and expectations of a good steward, right? Work with passion. Can you tell your neighbor, work with passion? Right. So, respect the designation given to you. Don't take it for granted. Maybe you are a team leader, manager, or maybe a simple clerk. Respect the designation given to you. Honor your authorities. Be it in church, be it at work, be it at home, in a family. In a family also, you have your authorities. Many times we don't give our best at work thinking that they don't pay well, right? Many of my colleagues say, jitna paisa mila hai, utna hi kaam karein. Like, you know, how much ever salary I'm getting, that much only I will work. So, should that be my attitude, my Christian attitude? I don't think so. Then, promotions. I didn't do well because I didn't get a promotion. We need to respect the position that we have been given. Similarly, when we are holding a responsibility in the church, we honor it. With reverence, we work for it. Many people in the church work voluntarily, right? So, many times we may not be available for that work because the attitude could be, I'm not getting paid for it, so why should I kind of be available all the time? That also could be the attitude, right? So, when we are working, we need to work with passion, whether it is voluntarily or whether it is a paid job, right? Because it says, like, we forget many times that Jesus redeemed us at a great cost on the cross and we receive it freely. So the price is very high, but we have received it freely. In the same way, Jesus also could have said, you also pay the cost, but he didn't do that. He said, we did it with all passion. Similarly, we need to have the nature of Jesus when it comes to working for God. It also says that the crown of glory and recognition will be given to you, because whatever you do in secret, whatever people have not noticed, God has noticed it and He will reward you, right? So be diligent. Okay, I'm coming to the next character is with godly character, right? So be diligent, be trustworthy, be honest. Yes, I have also mentioned that, you know, we need to be content with whatever work that we have been given. Be content. Okay, so there are three categories of contentment. In Hebrews 13:5 it says, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now many times we may not be content enough, right? And sometimes we may be too much content and there is no ambition. And sometimes there is a differentiated contentment. For example, as I said, there is no promotion, so I'm not content. I will keep on doing till I get a contentment. I am a teacher in the school, now I want to be the principal. So there is no contentment. I keep on doing. So in that case also, what happens is we forget that whatever job I am in currently, I need to respect that. Because I am always wanting to do what the other person has. The other person is a manager, I also want to do. If the other person is got a big car, I also want. So I am never content with what I have. I am always wanting. And I don't do a good job with whatever I have. Right? Or there will be some things like, I am content with whatever I have, but I have no ambition. Means, I will do whatever is feasible for me, itna hi hoga, I will not do more. Right? So, I am very much content and, you know, I do not have an ambition. So, it's sometimes I may say, I am only a volunteer in Sunday school, I thank God for it and I am continuing to be a volunteer in Sunday school. Okay, but I need to go a step forward and say, God, what else do you want me to do for you? Then there is something called where I have differentiated contentment. Means I am okay to do this much in the church, but I want to do more at my workplace, because there it will come on my CV. There I will get a promotion. So there is a differentiated contentment. This much is okay for the church, this much is okay for the family, this much is okay for the church. No. So that is where we fall. That is the, you know, deception that we are in. Whatever we do our best. We have to have that godly characteristics. Being trustworthy every time. Being diligent every time. Being honest every time. Can somebody read the first Titus 1:7-9? You can see.
As God's steward must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict him.
Thank you. So you need to, we all need to be trustworthy, diligent, honest, right? And we will quickly do a case study about a parable that Jesus very nicely speaks about, like about stewardship. So again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. I think most of us know the story. It's just kind of a reminder for all of us that, you know, God has entrusted us certain tasks, certain duties, certain responsibilities. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. That is what we heard in the first slide. Each according to the grace, varied grace. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once, put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Now comes our part. Okay, maybe. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. Jaisa tha, aise hi he gave. He did not do anything about it. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the banker so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. Throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Right? So this is what God expects us. Each one of us. So maybe there is each one according to the ability. Maybe you may feel overburdened with a lot of things. But that is what God is saying. You are capable of that. That is why God has given you so much. So instead of grumbling and you know saying, I can't handle it. See, God, give me the wisdom. Give me the wisdom to do it. Now, some of the obstacles, okay, we may say that, yeah, I am too busy, too this, too that. There are some obstacles to being good stewards. What are those? There is fear. Like how that guy had fear. I knew you will ask me. I knew you are a man who harvests where you have not sown. I knew you are a very, so he was fearful. Maybe we also have the fear whether we will be able to handle it or not. Whether we will do a good job or not. See, that is all a deception. Many times we have those fears, whether this responsibility that I have been given, whether I'll be able to do it or not, that is all a fear and also a deception, saying it is, you can't do it. It's not a cup of, it's not your cup of tea. It's not like that. Let's look at it. Where is that fear? Laziness. The owner said, the master said, at least you could have gone to the bank and deposited it. He was so lazy that he didn't even want to do that. Right? He was giving excuses. Then probably he had the comparison. Usko 5 diya. Usko 2 diya. I only got 1. I am not going to do anything. Comparison. Okay? Most of the times we compare. Oh, his. He is able to do because he has all the peace in the world. And he is able to do because he has such a nice, you know, family and all. Nothing like that. God has given us. And we need to be responsible about that. Sometimes there is pride. You know, why should I do it? Somebody else can do it. Why should I lay the chairs in the church? They will do, na. Others are there. There are 50 members in the church. They will come and do. Why should I do it? Right? Ushering, why should I usher? Why should I set up? Right? Sometimes there is pride in us. Sometimes we give excuses that, you know, this is not happening. I fell sick. That is why I could not come that day. I had a lot of work to do. So, you know, so excuses. Like the big picture. He did not understand. understand the big picture. It is not only about that one point. It was about how he projected or presented himself, the character that he showed. Because that is what the person with the 10 points, he got more because he showed a character of loyalty, trustworthiness, faithfulness. Then he lacks enthusiasm. Maybe a lot of assumptions. If I do this and this will happen. See, many times I've seen people, they will make a big plan, assume certain things, and then their whole plan is cancelled. Because they have already assumed and come to an end in their mind only. So let's take that first step and then see what it is bringing about. Any result or any, I will take up this job here, but I don't think it will work out because this will happen. So I'm assuming things. I'm at it. Let's give it a try. Let's ask God to help us. So many times we will be, deceived by our own thought process, by our experiences or my friend's experience, I will be deceived. There will be times when I will be deceived by my sinful nature, right? I am a sinful person. So I'm lazy, I am not able to, have a schedule. So I will have all those issues. And the devil will also add on to whatever I have been interested. He will try and put certain words in your mind and say, nahi, nahi, kuch se nahi hoga. You won't be able to do it. You won't be able to manage. How can you manage? You already have so many things in your plate. This is not done. Your skills are not up to the mark. You cannot be trained. All those things the enemy also puts. Because the fact is that God has given us ability. We need to know what is it, where is it. And there will be a lot of people who will give us counsel, okay, advice. We need to discern who is giving us the right advice. Who is helping me to grow in the stewardship that God has given me. There will be some people, leave it here. Can't do it. Forget it. Let's not do it. There will be certain people who will discourage us. But there will be people who say, come on, let's give it a try at least. Let's not assume that it will not happen. Right? So we need to discern also. So now it's our turn. Right? So let's reflect. What has God entrusted to you right now? It could be about family, it could be about work, it could be about yourself, as I said. It could be something that you need to work on, right? What have we received from God to work on it? Whatever we have been entrusted in. Maybe you are skilled in singing. So maybe you have received that gift from God. Maybe you are a good artist. Maybe you're financially strong. Maybe you are good at thinking. You can think well. You can plan well. You can administer well. The skills that God has given you. And how you will be able to work through your skills on things that have been entrusted to you. Right? So I've received some things from God. And now there are certain things that have been entrusted from God. So how am I going to use the things I have received? Do the things that I have been entrusted. Getting me? So if I'm being entrusted a church, so I'm coming to church. But whatever I receive, what are my gifts? Right? I can sing, I can serve, I can talk, communicate, I can plan. I'm very good with social media posts. I can do this. So I have been entrusted with a certain thing. Now I need to put it into action. Now what are my abilities? I can stay longer, I can work throughout the night, but I can't do it in the day. So what are my abilities? What are my skills? How serious am I with my responsibilities handed over to me? Maybe it's my family, my church, or finances. So we need to think it over. And can we take a minute or two and think, what have you entrusted me with? What have I received from you? What are my abilities that I can see practically? I can do. How serious am I with responsibilities handed over to me in the family, church, work, finances? So can we take a minute? Think over it. So, what we could do is, now because we've thought over it, we can go home, write it down. Let's be like a little more proactive about what we've heard today. So that when Jesus asks us someday, what have you done with this? Like, we are not speechless or we are not without an answer, right? So before that, like, you know, during your examinations, when you have your practicals, when you have your lab and all, you have a pre-mock, right? You have your viva, right? Your mock viva and all that, right? So you go and say, yeah, this is the answer. This is the lab reports and this is what I have done. So you give a pre-mock and a viva. So remember that we are in that phase of pre-mock, where we are having a viva, maybe with our leaders, with our mentors, and we may say that, okay, you know what, this is what I have done, this is how I have taken care of, this is what I need to work on. When I do that, when the final day comes and Jesus asks us, we are ready, we know what we have done, we know, we are so confident that, God, I have not gone astray, whatever you have given to me, I have worked on it, I have labored on it, and I have not given excuses. I have not allowed my feelings, my emotions, or my flesh to take control over it. And I have done my best. And that will happen only when I am doing my pre-mock, my viva, my, you know, whatever I'm doing with my mentor, with the people whom I'm accountable to, with my leaders. I am sharing with them. I'm guided by them. I'm helped by them. And I will be in the right direction. Therefore, my heart will always say, thank you, Lord, for all the things that you have given to me. Thank you, Lord. It will rise up like a worship to you. Whatever you have given to me, it's a worship towards you. And I will not grumble about it or say that I have not got what he has got or she has got. But I will be ever thankful to you because you thought over me. You gave me freedom. You have redeemed me for a purpose. And I don't want to miss out on that purpose. I want to go on this mission for you in your name. Yes? Amen. I'll